Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction, again, to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. In this recording, I'm going to do something unique. I've been asked a series of questions on what I think about this person or that person, in specific Kevin McDonald, because Kevin McDonald has a PhD in biobehavioral sciences, and he's done a lot in talking about different problems we have, the indigenous white rabbits have, as a race. But what I'm going to do is something unique. I thought about interviewing him and writing him an email and getting an interview, but instead of doing that, because he's so well written and he's out there all over the place, I thought I'd pick a couple of his pieces, and read his opinion and then interject, my take on it, because I don't have a PhD in behavioral sciences from a traditional university, but I do have a PhD in white rabbit psychology and ecology from bugs. So I know a little bit about this, but I don't go at it from an external standpoint. We go at it from an internal standpoint. Because there are some things that are very unique about white rabbits. There's a paradox. You have a rabbit that can breed with other rabbits that makes progress. Well, rabbits aren't supposed to make progress. No, animals aren't supposed to make progress. Most of the human family has no interest in progress whatsoever. They hate it. And if you stick progress in their face, it creates a great deal of resent. There's also another challenge with the white rabbits. They question their existence. And I'm going to come back to this point. But what I'm going to do is start by reading some of his stuff. And in reading it, I'm going to interject my opinion, my point of view. And I think it's a little bit better than doing a traditional type of interview because, one, it's not wasting his time, and because I'm the star of the show here, and I'm going to be doing most of the talking. So we're going to start off this by talking about his piece in the Occidental Observer. It's a good piece. I don't have any problems with his work. I just have a different take on the particular challenge. I take it from a pure racial standpoint, internal, of dealing with the fact that we are animals, but yet we make progress. Yeah, all humans are animals too. Hybrid, very intelligent animals, but we make progress and we question our existence. The latter part of this, questioning our existence, is what I'll come back to. What's wrong with white men? Kevin asks. In search of an explanation, Kevin McDonald, in February 24, 2009. And these are two random pieces I chose that'll let me talk about what I like to talk about. And it is in the Occidental Observer on February 24, 2009. They published it online. And it's What's Wrong with White Men in Search of an Explanation, Kevin McDonald. In my previous column, I attempted to analyze two important sex differences in political behavior. Women's tendency to be attractive to wealthy, powerful men, and women's relatively greater attraction to close relationships, empathy, and nurturance. These differences make women less likely to be attracted to white racialist movements, given the current political context. Well, one of the challenges for white racialists, the biggest complaint across the board with women, because I have a lot of women listeners, is that, one, they don't do anything creative, and there's not a lot of eye candy there, or they don't include women in their discussion, or they don't know how to. I've tried to make up for that, and I think women listeners would respond, but they're not attracted to the traditional type of a meeting type white nationalist structure. They have no problems with showing up at a tea party or doing something. They're just unique. Now, white women are way more unique than any others. But you'll find that women in most societies have no interest in politics, really. Or only a handful will.
And then he goes on to say, but these differences are not the main cause of our malaise. A correspondent writing me about my last column said that I should ask white men why white men are such wimps that they are basically lying down and allowing themselves to be displaced. It's a good question. How could a race of people that conquered the world suddenly lose confidence and voluntarily cede power? What explains the culture of Western suicide? White men have to look in the mirror when thinking about our ongoing dispossession. Then he talks about Charles Martel and how Charles Martel was a man who stood up for his people by leading an army against invading Muslims. This is what one should expect from men in Europe as well as America. And then he goes on to talk about Charles Martel. But let's go back over this. How could a race of people conquer the world suddenly lose confidence and voluntarily cede power, and explains the Western culture of Western suicide? Because we question our existence. Animals don't question their existence. We have an internal dialogue that is consistently asking these two questions, Kevin. Is life worth living? What is true? Is life worth living? What is true? There is nothing that can touch the capacity or the actual the search in the Western rabbit for objective truth. Nothing in the world can understand it. On one of my previous programs, I talked about Kennewick Man, and Kennewick Man the Indians could not understand why these white rabbit scientists had to know the truth about it. They just said it was our ancestor, and they wanted to bury it on their grounds. But they could not understand why they were so consumed with this objective truth. They can't get that because that is very racial to us. But we do question our existence. One of the challenges for the white rabbit is what is going on now is simply a hyper sped up process that has been going on for a long, long time. It happened in ancient India. There were no Jews around. It happened in the Persian Empire. There were no Jews really there when this started happening there. And in ancient India, there were no Jews around at all. But it happens over a slow, gradual time, and it happens in a process that we define at Bugs, that's WhitakerOnline.org, as wordism. And it sounds simple, it sounds catchy, it sounds cute, but it's a deep discussion. And anytime any white rabbit replaces their organic white rabbit existence with a synthetic construct, whether it be anti-racism or capitalism or even any ism, anytime we have a tendency to replace our healthy white rabbit organic identity with a synthetic construct, it leads to a chaos in that feedback mechanism. They can no longer see, they're no longer getting the positive feedback that life is worth living, and they're kind of temporarily blinded against objective truth. And it only takes a percentage to do that. And once that happens, it starts. It started in ancient India with Buddhism and some other things like that. And they could not arrest it. They obviously moved out of there. We're still here. It happened in Persia when Zoroastrian faith was opened up to, you know, Aryans with just an Aryan father instead of just an Aryan mother. It's always a breakdown, and always it happens around an ism. It happens around replacing an organic identity, a healthy organic identity, with a synthetic construct. It is a natural process that we've been going through, unfortunately, time and time again. And what's happened in the past, post-World War II, and somewhat leading right before it, since maybe the 1920s or early 1900s with the social's different science groups, the anthropology groups and whatnot that were taken over by the Hebrews. What has happened is a slow, gradual process. And that process was just a blasting of isms, this ism and that ism, from capitalism, whatever. All of our healthy white rabbit identities were replaced with these synthetic constructs. But what it does is it puts a kink in that feedback mechanism. They're no longer thinking their life is worth living because they're a white rabbit. It's life is worth living because they're a capitalist. It happens time and time again. Usually, when they replace, historically, it's happened around religion. And this time, it kind of hijacked religion, and religion became just another tool of the social engineering schools. But it always happens around the same theme. And there is no arresting the trend once it happens. The only redeeming quality in this last 50 years is that it's been sped up, and it's been sped up by a group you talked about, the Hebrews. And I'll go back to them when I discuss your piece of Jewry's creation of white guilt. But how could a race of people that conquered the world suddenly lose confidence and voluntarily cede power? What explains the culture of Western suicide? We question our existence. Historically, if you looked at the Vikings, they have no problems with suicide. That suicide is still going on. It's now because of the kink in their feedback mechanism. They can no longer think life is worth living. There's a new type of suicide, racial suicide. But this is identical to what happened in ancient India and in ancient Persia. In the Middle East, in some areas, prior to us fleeing back into Europe, most likely. But it's the same process. The difference between the Hebrews is they speed up something that would normally take hundreds and hundreds. If Anglos could have ever destroyed Anglosphere on their own, they speed up things. They hyper accentuate what we are. And when it comes down to Charles Martel, I have a phrase that is borrowed from Charles Martel. Charles Martel beat back the Muslims at the gates of Vienna. But what most racialists, even Dr. McDonald, doesn't understand is with white rabbits, you have to hit the gates of Vienna. Why do you have to hit the gates of Vienna? I don't know. Why do your neighbors think they're racist? Why did our ancestors think they were evil sinners going to burn in hell? We negatively condition. They will sit there and beat themselves blind and start negatively conditioning themselves. I don't know why we do it. I discussed this I'm 15. I spent a lot of times on negative conditioning. It is something that only white rabbits do in this way. You're saying why do we do it? We don't know whys. It has to do with a deep essence of our race and most likely toward consciousness. Toward this third element that I'm going to get to in yet another piece. It's going to be out of X-Mini within 7 days of this one. But we negatively condition. So if they think the Muslims, they will do this all hope is lost and beat themselves over the head with things. And then every once in a while someone hits the gates of Vienna and all hell breaks loose and they take everything back there and then some. And then they're all fine for so many hundreds of years. But you have to hit the gates of Vienna with white rabbits first. I don't believe they were able to arrest the trends in ancient India and Persia because they were so... they happened over such long periods of time. When it comes to the Muslims invading the Europe and what Charles Martel went through, well, they hit the gates of Vienna. They took all parts of Italy. They took Spain. They took all of Spain. They were all the way up in Vienna, the gates of Vienna. That's what you have to do with white rabbits. You have to negatively condition. And one thing we've seen post-World War II is the mother of negative conditionings. It happens on all time. It's just we're always doing it. I talked in 15 about Victorian England on how, sex is naughty, and all this prudish behavior. And then it starts reinforcing, then self-defeating, and then it becomes all-out hanky-panky behind the scenes. Islam's not a threat. They take Spain. No one's really concerned about it. White rabbits are being raped, killed, and murdered. Next thing you know, they hit the gates of Vienna, and something sparks. But they did hit the gates of Vienna. In the piece where I disagree with it, you're talking about Charles Martel, and that Charles Martel just rallied them out of nowhere. They didn't rally them out of nowhere. They hit the gates of Vienna. That's a long ways into Europe. But you have to do that with white rabbits. And we don't necessarily have whys other than race is real. It's so real that we are radically different in so many different ways. And you go on to talk about male aggression over access to females as a common in nature. Typically, yes, but I would say, everyone complains where I'm at right now in Western civilization, there's a Muslim population. And the Muslims will go on and on about how they don't like elements of Western culture because it accentuates the female and makes the males powerless. You know, they can't really tell their women what to do and what not. You know, it's a totally direct opposite of what they were used to. And I believe this came about in the past 50 years from epic media control. Because, you know, prior to 70 years ago, you really only had one kind of media, and that's the press. But now you had radio, and then you had television. So you had the Holy Trinity, you know, radio, TV, and television. White rabbits and every rabbit within listening and looking distance was getting inundated from all these different levels, from one thing and one thing alone. And that's going to start a process. And let's face it, brainwashing basically works. But it is self-reinforcing and self-defeating. It's self-defeating simply because we're still white. And that's the problem. What happens if you go bankrupt and you have a big group negatively conditioned white rabbits? Typically, it doesn't go that well. But when it comes down to Charles Martel and the Gates of Vienna, look at what white rabbits have been going through against their own elites in Europe. I mean, hundreds of years prior to the American Revolution. The Irish, they were taxing the very air. Now they want to do carbon credits, but they were measuring their windows and taxing the air on these rabbits. You'd think it took hundreds of years for them to revolt. The founding fathers put up with all kinds of stuff. And you just have to let them beat them and beat them until they hit the gates of Vienna. But once they hit the gates of Vienna, then you can't do anything with them. That's the funniest thing about it. But we have seen the mother of all negative conditionings. And if anyone can go back and listen to 15, I spent an hour and a half talking about negative conditionings. You know, all Nazis are evil. All Nazis are evil. All Jews are wonderful. There's nothing positive. There's nothing negative about the Jews, period. That's extremely dangerous around white rabbits because white rabbits will actually believe it. They'll actually believe they're God's chosen rabbit. They will. Yeah, the Jews believe that they're God's chosen rabbit, but so do white rabbits. No one else on earth believes that, but white rabbits do. Don't believe anything. They're also capable of doing anything. Like getting us out of hell, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing. But it's not enough to believe anything. We can deliver. The basic evolution, I'll go back to Kevin now. The basic evolutionary logic also implies that males should attempt to control the political process. Throughout history, powerful men have left more descendants. Well, now I think this is me interjecting. Now the political process is controlled really by money, so it's who controls the most money. The challenge, the good thing that we have going for us is Anglosphere is $120 trillion in the hole in America alone. It ain't going to survive. They're either going to go to war and let it collapse, and they're going to war. Yeah, it's already started. But I've already covered this. So let's go back to Kevin McDonald and talk about some more stuff. But we don't see, and just as Charles Martel and his army defeated the invading Muslims, just as the armies of men fought to the death against Genghis Khan to protect their women and hold on to their territory, we should expect that white men would fight to prevent the mass immigration that soon make them relatively powerless minority. We should expect them to mobilize fiercely against affirmative action process and discriminate against them. We should expect them to be hostile to culture that promotes non-whites into prestigious positions that make them attractive to white men. We should expect a Charles Martel figure to easily rally their allegiance to reclaim their heritage. But we don't see that. Well, we don't see that yet. White men are wimps. This same conversation would have happened when the Muslims took Spain. Where you don't see this, Kevin, where you don't see this, Dr. McDonald, you do not see this in Russia. The problem, the challenge for most Western white rabbits in Anglosphere, in Germany, is they do not have a long memory of this stuff. The Slavs in Eastern Europe, the Russians and the Slavs in general, spent four centuries under the Ottoman Turks. They still have history books right in front of every little white rabbit there, looking at their families getting carried off to slavery by the Ottoman Turks. It's still in their mind, which is probably why they're at the vanguard of fighting against it, which is probably why when one of the wise men I listened to, you might remember when Vladimir Putin, Putty Poot rabbit, he was showing Jacques Chirac the big new missile they came, that they had, and they were placing them all around Russia. Well, what he was telling the wise men, and what he was telling most of the world that only a handful of parties behind the scene knew, that if it comes down to Russia going brown, or Russia starting a war, Russia's gonna start a big war. Yes, they will. Which is good. Someone should articulate the obvious. But But they always have to hit the gates of Vienna. The Russians and the Slavs still have the gates of Vienna in their history books. They know for four centuries they were murdered, raped, killed, enslaved by the Ottoman Turks. Most Europeans aren't really aware of that, and that's partially through media. But basically, let's face it, in America, we haven't faced a threat since the Indians. And, even then, how many actually fought? And so we have a very unique way of going about stuff. We're not wild rabbits running around and very territorial. In this case, we have a very odd situation. We have the whole top of the planet. Yeah, we dominate the whole top of the planet, but we don't have a home. And someone has tried to use democracy and all these wonderful compliance white rabbit traits, like, you know, law-abidingness and going with the flow and listening to parties, you know, listening to law enforcement, tried to use all these things against us. The challenge for them is they don't have their New World Order, and now everything's bankrupt. But let's go on and talk about Kevin, and I'll keep interjecting my thoughts on what he's saying. So let's continue reading Kevin McDonald's piece here from the Occidental Observer. And he's talking about basically that white men have started acting like wimps. Well, they go through this time. We've been through this time and time again. And again, the Hebrews cannot do something. You can't infect a host that is not ready for you to infect it. And one of the things that the Russians have done is that they got media control by any means necessary. They're not controlling it perfectly across the board. Well, they actually do have an iron grip on it across the board. But they are not controlling it from a racial standpoint. They're controlling it from a Russian nationalist standpoint. The difference is that well, they know something that most white nationalists don't know, that when it comes to their think tanks, only Europeans can be Russian. So when they say they're Russian nationalists, only Europeans can be Russian, which is kind of funny. That's one of the reasons the elites in Anglosphere have went at it so much with the Russians. They know what they're saying, where most people do not. But let's delve back into this. And Kevin McDonald goes on to talk about a strong strand of individualism in Western culture compared to other cultures. We are less prone to identifying with our people. Individual white men looking at contemporary situation think more in terms of their prospects rather than prospects of white people in general. It's like I said, they went wild with the isms. You know, it doesn't matter. Look at all the isms. Think about all the isms that have come out in the last 150 years. In the last 50 years, there's been even more of them. And anytime you get a white rabbit, period, replacing their healthy, organic white rabbit identity, with a synthetic construct, like capitalism or environmentalism even, they are prone. It is the onslaught of a disaster. When you see an ism, when you see them replacing their healthy organic identity with a synthetic construct, look out. They will run with it. They will then universalize it, just like they've universalized America and Americanism. The Jews can only pinprick what is there already. If anything, when it comes to Anglosphere, they destroyed something that maybe have taken us 1,500 years to do. they just speed things up. And he goes on to talk about California and how it's, we see the writing clearly on the wall, and that California is a third world society. Yeah, most of Anglosphere, any other time in white rabbit history, all of Anglosphere would collapse, white rabbits would go into consolidation, and the new German-Russian-Italian axis would be a white, an Aryan superstate, if you will. Putin would have a knockoff war in Europe, and they would end up being kings. And we would be over there and happy as a clam until this cycle started again. But this cycle is what's going on now in the greater scheme of things is going to be a lot bigger than that. It's going to be harder and harder to hide from all this. He talks about the third worldism that's happening in California. Yeah, the problem for our enemies, quite simply, is they're bankrupt. They have a fiat money supply system, and they don't have anything else. And that is one of the big negotiating tactics. That's why they have to go to war now. They can either go to war or they can let the place collapse. And they're going to war, which will be an even bigger disaster for them. And I'm talking about the Hebrew elites and the ones behind them. Because there are elites behind them that aren't necessarily Hebrews. That's my two cents, at least. Another problem with white men is a corollary of Western individualism. The best among us are far too prone to accepting moral principles even when they are massively incompatible with normal human self-interest. Well, we're assuming we're normal humans. White rabbits, there tends to be a paradox with white rabbits because we actually don't see ourselves. We don't see ourselves as animals, but we do see others as animals. It's a very unique paradox. We're animals. We can breed with other rabbits, but deep down inside, they know they're not rabbits. They know that there's something unique about them that they don't like talking about. And this comes out quite interesting. On my site, I put out an environmental piece. I call it the environmental position, where I talk about something right in front of our faces all the time. Is that white rabbit ecologists have now went back to treating everyone like the grizzlies in Yellowstone Park. Yeah, the grizzlies in Yellowstone Park is total non-interference. Total non-interference. They get their own space. And now, obviously, if you hit one, run one over, accidentally shoot one, it's an accident. But they get their own space, and they don't interfere with them at all, and they let nature take over. Well, what you'll notice is on the nature channels, this is what they're doing with the indigenous tribes. You know, they have the indigenous red rabbits of the Amazon, and non-interference. They don't give them medicine or anything else. They totally let them run around their habitat just like grizzly bears. Then I was watching the show just recently about where they were on a South Pacific island. Total non-interference. They didn't even want to give them Western medicine. This is revolutionary. This is how we naturally act. Non-interference. What most white nationalists don't understand, and what liberals, if anyone wants to listen to the piece, it's on my website, whiterabbitradio.net, the environmental position. I broke it out. White rabbit liberals, I've got some emails that's very unnerving for them that they do this. And they said that, you know, well, we don't necessarily treat everyone. Well, yeah, they do. White rabbits, because race is real, they treat everyone like bears. And there's two types of treatments like bears. There's a treatment of the grizzlies in Yellowstone, like they're doing with the little indigenous, the indigenous tribes. They're treating them identical to the grizzlies in Yellowstone. Yeah, the white rabbit environmentalists on the television shows right in front of you are treating these red rabbits, the South Pacific native rabbits and everything, just like the grizzlies. Total non-interference. So they're not selling them anything. They're not giving them food. They're not, well, they would already have it if they needed it. They're not giving them medicine. They held back from even intervening in a little sick South Pacific rabbit just to give them medicine. Well, let nature take over. It's fantastic. But what liberals don't realize is they still, even the ones emailing me, they're still treating them like the bears. They're not treating them like the grizzlies in Yellowstone. No, they're treating them like how white rabbits over the past 50 years have started treating the bears. It's a dysfunctionality that have come out. I call it they're treating them like the black bears in New Jersey. Yes, it doesn't matter whether it's the black African rabbits in America or Greater Anglosphere, they're having a problem with them, United Kingdom, or the Muslim rabbits, the speckly brown Muslim rabbits. They're treating them just like the black bears in New Jersey. The black bears in New Jersey, you might remember, were a huge problem. You couldn't hunt one of them. Even if he was on your front porch, killing your wife and family, you better watch it or you end up in a trial. If you hit one accidentally driving down the road, well, it's a black bear. It's very special. We infringed on its habitat hundreds of years ago, so now we just got to let it. We got to non-interfere. It's a non-interference policy and a very allowed to become dysfunctional. And the way they do this is you'll take a handful of dysfunctional rabbits. It doesn't matter whether it's anthropology or environmentalism in regards to black bears, and they'll promote that one or that two and let him dictate policy, and it'll drive the other white rabbits crazy. But the black bears in New Jersey, the white liberals are either treat the Muslims in Europe, as well as the African rabbits, just like the black bears in New Jersey. They treat them just like animals. Sure they do. They treat them just like animals. You can't discipline them because there's no use in disciplining a black bear. You can't defend yourself against them because they had done something, you know, they've been displaced hundreds of years ago. You can't so much as touch one of them because they're protected. You know, white rabbits are very protective of their little animals they're watching out for. But the black bears, if you were to look at the black bears in New Jersey up until they started having hunting seasons, they were treating them, and we can go out west with the cougars. Yeah, you can't touch one of them. You got to let them run around and eat everything and invade and kill your little poodle and everything else. You can't defend yourself from them because we infringed on their territory or we displaced them. They are consistently treating others like animals, and to such an extent that they don't realize it. Now, I don't have a problem as long as it's treating them like the grizzlies of Yellowstone. They get their own space and it's sustainable. But what's happened is that they've treated all these little rabbits, whether it be the Muslim rabbits, the speckly brown Muslim rabbits in Europe, the African rabbits, which are the two biggest groups, just like the black bears in New Jersey. And what has happened in Italy, and what will start happening, is the inevitable hunting season, the yo-yo. I don't like it. I have all these a handful of white liberal listeners that think this stuff is just. I think it's like a guilty secret that they listen to me talking about it. We don't have a problem with them treating like animals. It's just not sustainable because eventually there's a hunting season. In Italy right now, there's a hunting season on, I believe it's black rabbits and speckly brown Muslim rabbits. They're treating them just like the black bears. But it's a big yo-yo. It's a dysfunctionality, but they're no less treating them like animals. And they realize they're helpless. There's no real disagreement between me and my listeners who happen to have that persuasion, that they should be treated, with respect and given their own territory and allowed to mind their own business. The challenge is that we're at the end of the yo-yo, and now the yo-yo is starting to come back the other direction, and that's where it becomes fascinating. You're at the gates of Vienna, so to speak. But they are treating them just like the bears. It doesn't matter whether they're white liberals or the ecologists or even me. I'm going to treat them just like the bears. But I want the bears, the grizzlies in Yellowstone, something sustainable long-term instead of the black bears in New Jersey. Because treating things like the black bears in New Jersey, letting them run around and kill, rape, and murder is just unsustainable. It's unsustainable because sooner or later, my liberal listeners will have hit the gates of Vienna, and it's sooner rather than later. Everything will start collapsing, and then it's going to go back into hunting season or who knows what. But for long-term preservation and stability, white rabbits will naturally do the non-interference. We see it all the time in the nature channels. We see it right, left, and center. But when it comes to black bears of New Jersey, the argument is, well, that we interfered hundreds of years ago in their habitat, so we got to keep interfering. And eventually they get frustrated like they did out west with the cougars, and they start shooting them. But it has to go through that process. It has to go through that process. What they've done when it comes to black bears in New Jersey, they've replaced their healthy white rabbit organic identity with a synthetic construct. They've allowed the environmental struggle to become an environmental movement, environmentalism. And they can no longer see any objective truth. They have to fight to the death so the black bears can kill them. That's really what it is. They're fighting to death for the Muslims who are going to kill Europe. And you just have to let it go, and hit the gates of Vienna. That's the only thing to do. What's interesting when it comes to the Hebrew elites, going back into what Kevin McDonald says, the Hebrew elites have sped up something that would take hundreds and hundreds of years. This is sped up. We have all the weapons in the world. I think Dr. McDonald would have to agree with that. We have the whole top of the planet. Just no one's doing anything to defend white rabbits. There are white rabbits out there that can do it. I think the what happened in New Orleans, what happened in Katrina, proved the stuff. Even what you see is what you get. Even what you see is what you get. They were ready and able to defend themselves at the blink of an eye if they were allowed to. And sooner or later, there's nothing really you can do about it because and we'll go back and read Kevin McDonald's piece, and I want to talk more about the Jew rabbits. Jews do not have this problem. As often has been stated to the point of being a cliche, the only moral principle Jews recognize is whether it's good for the Jews. Jews, and let me interject here, the Jew rabbits are basically, the pink rabbit, as I call them, any white rabbit that looks like us, that has no loyalty to us, is a pink rabbit, because they either like a Jew rabbit, or they like their Jew rabbit, the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters, which a lot of them are Jewish. In Anglosphere, it's an overwhelming number of Jews. It's a who's who of Hebrews. what they like to do is they are the direct antithesis of us. The pink rabbit is an anti-rabbit. Where we question our existence, they do not. They do not at all. The problem that they've created for themselves over the last 50 years is that they're so destructive. They can't even wage war that's necessary for their New World Order. Their New World Order should have been in place in the late 80s. It's not there. To wage war against New World Order, to get it, you're going to have to conquer Islam and change Islam. They can't do that because there's so much anti Jew rabbits propaganda in the Islamic world. They can't do anything with it. So you can't change them, and you got to go to war with them. Well, they went to war with them way too late. But how can you go to war with them if you have a demoralized population of white rabbits who are multicultural, multiracial, who, you know, Muslim rabbits are shooting at them in their own bases in America? It's the worst mistake they ever made was letting in Muslims. It's one of the many mistakes they made. And he goes on to talk about Jewish strategies and how that white rabbits are susceptible to moral debates and everything else like that. And that's true. That's what makes us white rabbits. I'm very happy for that. But we are in a hyper accentuated white rabbit cycle. Instead of something that took 1500 years, it only took a number of X many. It probably, since they came to the top of Anglosphere, we could probably put a clock on it since they took over Anglo banking, especially in America with the invent of the Federal Reserve System. Because they had a lock on media, and they've had a lock on the media off and on ever since then. It is not surprising, he goes on to say, surprising the descendants of the Puritans became supporters of the culture of critique. With the rise of the hostile Jewish intellectual and political elites in the 20th century, all these Jewish dominated movements were moral indictments of America, just as the Puritan intellectuals of the 19th centuries were attracted to all manner of utopian movements. Yeah, the white rabbits are the fantasy rabbits. If you bring out a fantasy, they will believe it. They will also go to the moon and go to Mars. That's what's amazing about it. We have a redeeming quality. African rabbits will believe all kinds of nonsense too, but they don't deliver the goods, or at least they haven't up until now. The movement, he goes on to say, the movements advanced by the Jewish intellectual elites were advanced as utopian visions of the future. All people have the same biological potential for accomplishment, and no culture is better than any other culture. As a result, we can easily mold people into ideal citizens. Boasian anthropology. We can create a classless society in which there will be no conflicts of interest, and people will altruistically work for the common good. Marxism. We can create a society in which people will be in tune with their sexuality and free neurosis. Anti-Semitism and racism, psychoanalysis. We can create a multicultural paradise. Then he goes on, we can easily transform other societies into democracies. The challenge for the Jew rabbits and the pink rabbits in general is they believe that all animals are equal and some are more equal than others. The problem is they actually believe that. They can't see that race, that groups are unique, and you have to give them their own unique. They can't understand that. So they keep trying to reorganize. Their New World Order went from being communist to second generation communism. And second generation communism is simply scientific. It's replacing of scientific materialism with scientific racism in only white countries. The challenge for that is that it has its antithesis. Its antithesis became a feudal state based on corporate control. The problem for this is it is at odds with each other. You see, the success of the feudal system was based on race. Yeah, the feudal system, it doesn't matter whether it's in Asia. There is one in Asia right now. It doesn't matter whether it was in Europe. There was nothing multiracial. You can't maintain a multiracial, multicultural, you just can't. It becomes more and more tyrannical. And you can run a tyranny if you have a lot of money, but what happens if you're bankrupt? What happens if you're bankrupt and you're $120 trillion in the hole and someone else is going to bring you out in tribunals one way, shape, manner, or form? You know, right now, you have the head of Israel that can't fly into London. But the biggest challenge for the Hebrew elite, specifically in Anglosphere, is they can't move now and they're bankrupt. It's a strange day when Tzipi Livni, I don't even know how to pronounce her name, it's Tzipi Livni, for Gaza, she can't fly into London for fear of war crimes. That's unprecedented, because if it wasn't for London, Israel wouldn't exist ever. So this is unprecedented what's taken place, as they've been put to the wall, so much so that they got to go to war, and we've talked about this in my show. But when it comes down to all the utopian movements, we are prone to that, and we will always be prone to that. A legitimate function of the media is to show you what has been legitimate history, like White Rabbit history, what will be, where you want them to be in the future, some taking advantage of their penchant for fantasy, and legitimate news, what is going on currently. What they do is, of course, use this to turn everything upside down. The challenge for them is that you can't really plan destruction. If you're that destructive, and even if you have some amount of long-term planning, they are not very good. And that's why they've been dominated by the Russians. They've been dominated by certain parties behind the scenes, more and more so in the past 10 to 15 years. They've got themselves into a pickle. The ideal that an Israeli official could not fly to London of all places. You know, if you were to say Belgium, okay, but London, for fear of arrest, that means there's all kinds of potential indictments on them. And of course, we talk about the attempt at genocide. Most of the white nationalists don't realize what genocide is and isn't, and what the Russians would do in tribunals. It's a Nuremberg. You can't go on the record saying you're going to get rid of white rabbits. I was talking to someone in France, an associate in France, and he was talking about the different actual social engineering, and he's fluent in French, which I am not, and he was articulating the social engineering schools in France and the groups that wrote the textbooks and what they actually said on the record. The idea was to create a blended humanity in European children's homes to basically get rid of them so they wouldn't vote for Hitler. That's fine if you have a New World Order in the 80s or 90s. It's not fine to be on a docket and reading that back. That you can't go there under the law. The law is very specific. But these are things that are open to us. Then he goes on to talk about the implicit whiteness. Psychological research shows that whites continue to have an unconscious sense of white identity, what I term implicit whiteness. Despite the constant bombardment of anti-white propaganda and media, whites prefer to live and work with each other. Some subcultures such as classical music, country music, and rock bands like AC/DC are implicitly white, even though they dare not speak their name as white subcultures. I think that's important to point out, because no matter how much you go against nature, it's still nature. It's still ultimately going to win. We have a very unique set of traits which allows them to push on a string at a certain point in time. It allows them to push, push, push until you're at the gates of Vienna. We go to the gates of Vienna. For some reason, we question our identity. But at the same time, they're still white. They're still white. And that's not enough to start a revolution, but he points that out, but that's what I'm here for. It usually starts with a sound and a vibration. Close societies have all come down in the same fashion. It doesn't matter whether it be the second generation communism, which is what you're in now, scientific racism with the corporate feudal state. It doesn't matter whether it's first generation communism around the world. That's what someone like me has learned to deal with. What are the scenarios that bring them down? Well, it always starts with a sound. The Berlin Wall wasn't brought down through bombs. It was brought down through a sound. It starts with a very intelligent group able to articulate a message, able to write a message. And we have that on the website, whiterabbitradio.net. We have a consistent message, a very good consistent message. You can hit it on White Rabbit Genocide. What we're doing is pointing out genocide over and over again to put someone in a to put someone back to the wall. We don't beat around the bush. We go right to the point. But you have to have that. That's the first step, is a consistent message. Then that consistent message spreads. It did the same thing in regards to the Berlin Wall, in regards to the Poland opening up. All these things happen the same way. George Soros had copy machines, and they had a brilliant group writing a consistent message. They put it out on copy machines and spread it out to all the different groups. They played a simple game. Me anti-commie, you anti-commie. They wanted to bring down the system. Then once that consistent message is out there, a certain group of leaders comes out, and they do Joe the Plumber. One Joe the Plumber comes up in a communist society and confronts the system. I was always asked how to work in America, and to work in America when someone hits a consistent message in a consistent way and becomes a star And then all the people that have been working to put out that consistent message from within the system and without, outside the system, on the streets, if you will, and within the halls of government, actually work to support them from the best way they can from wherever they're at the moment. And then once the system is confronted with its paradoxes, it collapses. Once the collapse starts, there's no arresting it. There never has been. But they're not done. It's done through a process. Now, I was always asking America, could that result in ethnic conflict? Well, no more so than you've already got ethnic conflict. The difference in New Orleans after Katrina is that whites were allowed to fight back. So I'm not worried about it. Sure, it could collapse through ethnic conflict. I'm not worried about that at all. What you're doing in a closed society is you're making it confront the paradoxes. And with white rabbits, you cannot do it like a traditional slogan. It has to be perfectly timed. Over and over again, and you have to hit a consistent message over and over again. But once it sinks in, once they realize they're at the gates of Vienna, once it turns, it can be a sight to behold. They will collapse it, and then they'll go the direct opposite direction to the full. It's just like a yo-yo bouncing back. We've seen it time and time again, but that is a process. You have a consistent message. You have to get that out of there. Someone hits a consistent message. Someone Joe the Plumbers, and you cannot protect against Joe the Plumber. You know, someone stands up and says, you know, Africans have 50-plus countries on the planet. Africans have half the world's natural resources. Africans have the largest population the world has ever known. They're more numerous than anyone else right now. Africans have the greatest piece of farmland anyone has ever seen, Africa. Africans live with me as a minority. I am a minority. Not much more I can do for you other than make you president. What's a long-term solution here? Now they can yell genocide and everything, which is wonderful. But what you're doing is confronting a paradox. And you can do it a variety of different ways. Instead of saying, I am a racist, you never want to say that. You want to say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. That's a million-dollar talking point. What you're doing is confronting a paradox. All whites are racist, and they're only trying to end racism in white rabbit holes. We're confronting this paradox. But we're doing it in a very unique way. Geared toward white rabbits because they are in very unique. Race is very real. I just don't know. You know, I always ask this question, how real is it? Because it's going to go in a few areas that we're not really prepared for. And I'm going to go back into that in my next Q&A, which will be coming out probably like within 7 days. I'm going to go into some interesting subject matters. But when it comes down to the Jew rabbits, one thing they tend to do is pretty much speed up the inevitable. We went through this in India. There were no Jews around. It just took forever. We went through this in ancient Persia. We went through this who knows where else, ancient Egypt. We went through this time and time again. The difference is that this time you have Jews that are very wordistic. They don't replace their Jew rabbit identity with an organic construct, with an inorganic construct or an abstract principle. Somehow they do it naturally. What comes unnatural to us comes naturally to them. What comes unnatural to most rabbits, period, comes natural to them. All the weird pornography and stuff. They are unique in that regard, but they also live for the moment, and they're extremely destructive. You can talk about all their long-term planning all you want to, but they didn't plan on what most of the world's going to see in the next so many months. They didn't plan on everything falling apart. They didn't plan on what they were going to do if they went for broke and got broke financially. And that's the challenge. But anytime you see the head of Israel that can't fly into London for fear of an indictment, in Europe you got problems. Anytime you see someone's putting tremendous amount of pressure on them. Right now you have Interpol. Interpol was something started by the National Socialists. It's ironic. National Socialists, and now the President of the United States has given them authority to arrest on American soil. That would supersede any type of federal ruling or anything else. They're getting ready to go after someone. It's a consistent threat. Will that happen? I don't know if it'll happen before or after war. Most likely after war. We'll have to see. This is going to be pretty wild stuff. But listeners on my show are more than ready for this. But when it comes down to Dr. McDonald stuff, I really like it because it is highbrow. It's for the type of reader that is an academic. It's for something that white nationalists or any of the racialists have had in a roundabout way, like Professor Revilio, Oliver Roberto or whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. I'm bad with names this afternoon. But Roberto Oliver, or Oliver Roberto, You know, you do have some highbrow professors that have come in. I say highbrow because it's not necessary for the average working man. They want something else, but you have to have all the avenues covered, and I think he does good stuff. Our stuff is a little more internal. We're talking about, you know, one of the solutions is to have control of the media and never relinquish it. But we do swing to extremes. We are the fantasy rabbit. We will believe anything. And therein lies the problem. Once they start believing in whatever nonsense you have them believing in, they're going to boomerang it. They're going to boomerang it completely. If you say the Jew rabbits are wonderful, Jew rabbits are wonderful, they better be. Our relationship with the Jews has always revolved around negative conditioning. They come in, say they're God's chosen rabbit, we believe them. They destroy stuff and they get annihilated and kicked out. And this came to a head in the World War II, and we know what happened. And now it's coming to a head again in a global way. So this should be pretty interesting. But it always comes around our propensity to negative conditioning. Negative conditioning need not be negative. It just goes against reality. And we have the propensity to do it. It doesn't matter whether it's Victoria, England, and sex, or believing they're racist, or believing their evil sinners are going to burn in hell. We go for it. I don't know why. I don't know why our neighbors actually believe they're racist. I don't know why our ancestors thought they were evil sinners going to burn in hell. We do it. And we do it time and time again. So much so that they're in a trend that they can't get out of. They had to wage war. They can't wage war with this. It's just a vicious spiral they're in. And we're in it with some ways with them. But these groups have been around a long, long time, and these traits we have been pinpricked a long, long time. I believe the Hyksos did something very similar in Egypt. They brought in slavery in Egypt, and you know, race is real, and some things never change. And we were just a long repository of white rabbits that stayed white, that asked the iron question, are you pro-white or are you pro-white genocide? Well, they said they were pro-white and they kept moving on. And we're at that point in our evolution where we're gonna make a giant step, and some will come with us, some won't. But it's always been that way. But they don't do anything that's not already there to begin with. What they do is pinprick it in a very odd way. And the challenge for them over the past 50 years is everything on this planet has sped up and everything is now falling apart, and they don't have the type of control they have to maintain everything, in spite of what any white nationalist thinks. No, any time you have the head of Israel that can't fly into London, and London founded Israel, you got problems. That tells you, I mean, their financial control is their main control, and they're bankrupt. Anytime you have Interpol arrest, you know, a president that's willing to give Interpol rights to arrest on, and that would all be German soft power, arrest on American soil, you got problems. You got problems, because there's no way you can dodge that if they call tribunals. So a lot is happening right in front of everyone's faces. But there is a patented process that goes forward to bring down any closed society, and that is making it confront its paradoxes. And with white rabbits, you do the same thing over and over again. It's a consistent message. It always happens around our mantra. So there is a patented process for bringing down a closed society, but starts with a consistent message. The challenge with this is you need someone that has done it at a high level that helps you do it. And we have those parties. We have them. You can do your homework on them. And we have the consistent message. And everything on my site, Follow the White Rabbit, or Horus the Vengeance, Follow the White Rabbit, revolves around this consistent message. But once that consistent message comes out, it spreads. Once it spreads, once you have people spreading it, repeating all the different memes, and all the different elements, very simple stuff. And when you're called a racist, just say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. Once you hit that, you're going to get a Joe the Plumber moment, and that's what they're worried about. Then it comes into a confrontation with the system. Then the system collapses. They understand the process very, very, very. They're experts in understanding the process, and they know it could happen on them, which is probably why, you know, you don't, most white nationalists don't even know don't know about WhitakerOnline.org. Most of you, don't know about WhiteRabbitRadio.net. Your enemy knows about us, but no one else really knows about, our stuff. And that's why we'll be spreading this far and wide on different channels. and other things like that, because it's now starting to get a following. But that is how it works. That is if you want to confront a system under practical politics, which is non-voting politics. You know, it's what you say when you open up your mouth. You got to have someone with the gears, with the know-how to write it, and you got to have someone in this instance to write it for White Rabbits. What's funny about it is it's not about a country or a system. It's a race, so it's pretty interesting. But ours always revolves around a mantra, and our mantra is just that. It's a mantra for all White Rabbits. It's not Bob Whitaker's mantra. No, he helped put it together. He probably started helping design it when he was young. Maybe he was working out at the CIA. I have no idea, because this stuff is always in his mind. Ever since he saw forced integration in the South, he knew it was going to be a disaster. That's in the southern United States. But he's just part of it. But it's a lot bigger than him now. But this is not Bob's mantra. It's not Horace's mantra. This is the mantra, because it's the only one you need. It's your mantra. So there is no giving credit for it. It's yours to use, period. End of discussion. Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. It is said that there's a race problem. They say this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but no one says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote, assimilating, unquote, with them. Everyone says the final solution to the race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, intermarry with all these non-white rabbits. What if I said there was a race problem, and this race problem would be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? How long would it take for anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? I'm talking about the final solution to a black problem. And how long would it take for any sane black man to notice this? And what type of psycho black man wouldn't object to this? But if I tell that obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I am a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. What they call for is genocide. And you can retool it. I've retooled it. Instead of putting race in it, you can put equality, because it goes hand in hand. It doesn't matter. Their new world order is very easy to figure out. It doesn't matter whether it's the environmental end of the stick or the corporate end of the stick or the religious end of the stick. It doesn't matter where they go with it. It's all about white rabbit genocide. That makes it very simple into an end game to close door them. That is the biggest problem. They broke, and, you know, if you break so many laws, that's fine if you can run the planet forever. But sooner or later, everything comes full circle. But that is the first part, is confronting, getting a consistent message, getting it out there, and then the confrontation always naturally happens. It is white rabbits always question everything. They're always asking on an internal basis. Every white rabbit listening to this will have an internal feedback mechanism. You will ask yourself, is life worth living, or what is true? And you're asking this back and forth. It's like a little feedback loop. You know, is life worth living? What is true? But when you talk in the mantra type, in a type of way, mantra type thinking, you're constantly pinpricking what is true here. Like me pointing out that environmentalists are treating everyone, are treating all the other little rabbits just like they treat the bears in Yellowstone, and that white liberals are treating the Muslims and the blacks just like they treat the black bears in New Jersey. It pinpricks something on the inside that they can't change, and you cannot unhear something. No, you cannot. You can dodge a bullet, but you can't dodge sound. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why they pay billions and billions of dollars for slogans like drink Coca-Cola. But you have to have someone that's good at putting it together, and this is very unique because we're dealing with a very unique rabbit, right? We're dealing with a rabbit full of paradoxes. And the next one, we're going to expand on some of these paradoxes, and we'll keep expanding as I go into more white rabbit psychology and ecology. But for this particular episode, I wanted to discuss Kevin MacDonald. I was asked about Kevin MacDonald and what I thought, and so I thought I'd go over some things from my perspective. And I might come back to that, because I think he's a brilliant guy, and I think he definitely has put out our problems for an audience that is very difficult to reach. It's very difficult to reach the type of audience that has been attracted to him, whether it be, you know, there are academics that are attracted to his type of work that wouldn't normally be attracted to normal white racial stuff, that are asking questions. I go out on my way to approach this from a very unique standpoint, because I have a PhD in white rabbit psychology and ecology. I always approach it from something internal, something that clicks. And the biggest success we've had on WhitakerOnline.org is coming up with internal feedback mechanism. What we do internally and how the feedback gets kinked. And our different traits, our different unique traits. And I've went all through this in the different episodes, but we'll be going back over it and going deeper. You know, before I went over just the Grizzlies in Yellowstone, but I never pointed out the Black Bears in New Jersey. I'll be doing things like this over and over again as we continue this process of getting out a consistent message, of getting you on a consistent message. And this is another episode of Follow the White Rabbit.
This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.